All right, folks, if you're curious about what's new in Asterisk, Matthew here is going to tell us. Go for it.
All right, I just have to get this mic working. It sounds like it's working. Can everybody hear me? All right, cool. All right, so I'm really excited to be here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matthew Fredrickson, and I am the project lead of the Asterisk project at Sangoma. So my job is making sure that Asterisk and other open source projects as well I'm responsible for them. I'm responsible for the day-to-day direction of them, for the teams that are involved there, and it's a lot of fun. If you'd asked me 20 years ago if my job would be getting paid to work on open source software, I would have been very surprised. But for the whole industry, things have changed quite a bit, and that's actually not quite so uncommon. And so it's kind of neat that that there are many people that are able to do that nowadays. So usually in these presentations, what I do is I try to talk a little about what's going on with the Asterisk project, what's happened in the last major release, and then a little bit about what's happened since the last major release. And so that's how the format of these things usually go. Just a little bit of review. These are kind of the big relevant major branches that we maintain and support in the Asterisk project. We support multiple major branches at the same time, for those who aren't familiar. The 16.x branch is the latest LTS release, and it has received 7 bug fix releases, and the current point release on is 16.7.0. 15.x has received 1 bug fix release, and current is 15.7.4. And 13.x, which is the former LTS, which is still active, has received 7 bug fix releases, and current is 13.30.0. And across all those branches, over the past year or so since I made these slides, which was in October, I made this particular slide, there were about 1,500 merge code reviews that went into those branches. So lots and lots of outside contribution. Asterisk, the community forum, here's some fun statistics that you may or may not be interested in, but there were over 10,000 different posts in the same annual period with over 800 new contributors. And if you have any questions about Asterisk, the project, or how to use it, if you're not familiar with it, it's a great place to start. I'm a little bit old school. I like mailing lists and things like that. But more and more, it seems like people are moving towards forums and things like that. So, you can have what you want. There's mailing lists as well. There's IRC channels. But the community forums is a great place to get started to get probably the bulk of the community. So Asterisk 17 was released. That was actually in October of this last year. There were approximately 500 different code reviews and about 60 individual contributors that were involved in that release. So it's a very, very big project. Lots of people involved, lots of people from all over the world, not just at one particular, at Sangoma or at one particular company. There's people everywhere that contribute to the project. Here are a number of some of the prominent contributors. This isn't everybody, because you couldn't see any names if I'd gotten everybody on here, but here were a lot of them. I always try to highlight the people that contribute a lot to the project. And so if your name is on here, I thank you very much for your effort and your diligence in going through with the code merging process that we have with Asterisk. There's a little bit of effort that's involved in it in order for us to make sure all our automation, make sure the code's clean and things like that. So if you're on this slide, or if you contribute a patch and you're not on this slide, I thank you very much for doing that. So Asterisk 17, let's talk about what's new in the Asterisk 17 release. WebRTC video quality improvements is one category I'd like to highlight, ARI additions. Who is familiar with ARI in the context of Asterisk? Is anybody familiar with it? Hands up, please. Okay, so there's a few people. ARI is Asterisk REST interface. It's a programmatic configuration or programmatic control interface for Asterisk. It's a REST-based interface, so you can write it, and if you're familiar with REST-style web applications, you can manipulate telephone calls and things like that using a REST-style interface as well in Asterisk. There are some internal API simplifications, a little bit of talk about metrics, and my last category is miscellaneous fun. So first off, for the last few major releases of Asterisk, we've been pushing forward the video support and trying to improve things. We added SFU functionality to Asterisk. And as we continue to raise the bar as far as the technology space goes, within our, you know, how we implement it within Asterisk, we added support over this last major release cycle for a technology called Transport CC. And previously, we'd only had support for technology called Rembi, which is another browser WebRTC technology. Basically, Transport CC is a better way of providing some information about packet loss and packet reception and things like that. It allows browsers to better handle network loss environments, packet network loss environments, and be able to recover from that in more robust ways. And so we added Transport CC support, and that was really cool because we would see, prior to that, we would see, like if you had a transient network drop or you have bursty packet loss or something like that, you'd see it take a while for the video resolution to recover in a streaming video call. And after we added Transport CC support, it was almost immediate that you'd see the resolution come back to quality. So it's been a major win in terms of the video quality experience with Asterisk. There were, on the ARI front, we're going to talk about, if you think, there's something called server-side event filtering. So for those of you that build REST applications on top of Asterisk, previously you kind of just got anything and everything as far as different RESTful events that come in. This allows you as an application developer to be able to specify which events that you are interested in on the server side, so that it provides a way for you to decrease your application load for events that you don't really care about. Just to note that filtering is set up after the application's connected, so you may have a few events that you receive while you're setting up the filtering on your event listening interface. We have a technology called automatic context creation. So for those of you that are familiar with Astro Style Plan, the way that you handle incoming calls is you send them to a particular context in the dial plan, and that's where you start interoperating or you start controlling a call. So a lot of the ARI developers have been pushing for a few years so that you could get rid of the last little bits of dial plan pieces you need to do ARI development. The dial plan it required wasn't very much. It was just one or two lines, and one of them was just dropping the call into the stasis application, which is used to start the ARI interface for a call. But now we have the ability to get rid of even that little bit of the dial plan. You can just drop it straight into a ARI application and not have any dial plan at all. So you can kind of have more of a pure ARI environment. We have the ability within ARI applications to be able to move to other applications. This allows you as a REST application developers to be able to structure your applications better. So you can have different applications that provide different functionality. And if you want to go from one application to another, you can do that directly within ARI itself without having to exit to dial plan and go to another application from dial plan. So again, for the trend of or pushing towards getting rid of dial plan if you don't want to have it, this allows you to do that as an ARI developer. Metrics. So in Astro 17, there was a Prometheus backend support added so that you can dump different statistics in Asterisk to Prometheus, and you can natively kind of see what's going on. You can look at channels, endpoints, bridges, PDASIP outbound registrations, and that's kind of just the beginning in terms of, you know, what could be done. If there are other interesting constructs or objects within Asterisk that you would like to monitor, you can extend it and add support for that. But that was kind of a good start in terms of some of the needs that we internally had when that was implemented. Miscellaneous fund. All right, so here's a few. So as I said, in Astro 17, there were like 600 different commits that went into it. And so this is highly editorialized. Also, I only have 15 minutes. So again, highly editorialized. But here's a little bit of miscellaneous fun. Some of it may be of interest to you. Some of it may not. But if you want the full story, then the commit log and the change logs are the best place to see what's happening. So ring time, progress time, and dial time, dial plan variables were added for post-dial delay calculations. We updated the bundled version of PJ Project to version 2.9. We try to keep that up to date so that we get upstream bug fixes in before users find those bugs on their own. We also added the ability in rtp.conf So that if you don't want to run a stun server or a turn server, like if you've got Asterisk running in an AWS type environment behind an Elastic IP or something, and you know, as part of, in order for it to be able to talk to a browser or something like that, you're probably going to need a stun server so it can provide all the right candidates for the call to set up properly. This allows you to not have to have a stun server, and you can set up statically defined mappings for that in rtp.conf so that, you know, if you already know what your Elastic IP is going to be, you can just manually configure that, and you eliminate one piece of infrastructure you needed before in order for WebRTC-based calls to complete. PJSIP identify sections now support hostname with port, not just hostname. ConfBridge has a new cool option called maximum sample rate, and it controls the maximum mixing rate that ConfBridge will go up to, but allows it to be flexible depending on what participants you have enabled to go down to lower sampling rates and things like that too. So if you've got a bunch of people that are only using 8 kilohertz codecs, it'll just use 8 kilohertz, but if maybe somebody's a higher bandwidth or higher bit rate participant, like 16 kilohertz, it'll upsample it up to them as well, up to a certain maximum. We also added H.265 support as a supported pass-through codec for Asterisk as well, because it's starting to get a little bit more popular on the browser front. All right, so I think I covered what's happened, some of the fun things that happened in Asterisk 17. Let's talk about what's happened since Asterisk 17. There has been a new interface that's been added to Asterisk for streaming external streaming call-related media to external sources, so a kind of a streaming API. This can be used to build speech-to-text applications, like if you want to build a shim between Asterisk and like Google speech-to-text or something like that, or the Amazon equivalent or the IBM equivalent, you can do that. Now there's a good interface for doing that that is not like, that doesn't require you to write like C code, which is kind of nice. You know, some people have done it, but it does require writing C code and things like that, so you can, you know, use like a Node application or something. Like, it's a lot easier. The technologies you can use are a lot easier to use for shimming into these different services. We've also added support for, we added a video jitter buffer, a video aware jitter buffer in Asterisk 17. So in some scenarios, we were having some issues. Like, it wasn't common, but every now and then we would see some issues, some AV sync related issues with the previous Asterisk jitter buffer. And so we had to extend it this last year to make it more video aware, so the AV sync, to kind of eliminate some of those AV sync edge cases. And for those of you, you know, have worked in telephony for a long time or real-time communications, there's nothing more frustrating than having AV sync issues when you see the mouth move and the voice doesn't match it, right? I mean, it is frustration incarnate, right? So that was kind of a good thing. We also added DTLS fragmentation support. Let me check my time. I'm getting close, aren't I? All right, I promise I'll get this done. All right, DTLS fragmentation support. So what does this mean for you? You're like, that is a bunch of words. What does it mean for me? It means that your WebRTC calls are more likely to complete. We already were in a pretty good spot as far as completion rates and things like that, but we did notice on certain networks with if you had to transit networks that had tiny MTUs and you had large certificate sizes, sometimes they exceeded the certificates couldn't pass successfully from end to end. So call media setup on WebRTC calls, it wouldn't be able to set up in some rare circumstances. And so we added native DTLS fragmentation support in Asterisk to be able to handle those environments a lot better. And so that was really good too. So a lot of polishing work still on the web, or a lot of polishing work on the WebRTC front. All right, so that was it. That's it for now. Just a reminder, Asterisk 13 goes security fix only this year in 2020. How many of you run Asterisk 13? Yeah, so this is it for all of you. It's time to get moving forward. We got a new LTS out. It's Asterisk 16. It's great. Asterisk test infrastructure is really, really awesome. It makes upgrades extremely boring now. We've almost kind of like done ourselves in as far as job security goes, because they are so boring. There's not a lot of drama. There's not a lot of bugs and things like that. But it's a good thing as far as the ecosystem goes and people that use it. So yeah, try to get moving to Asterisk 16. It's the latest LTS. Asterisk 15 is end of life as of this last October. Astra 16's got a couple more years of fresh life to it, and Astra 17 is the latest standard release as of this last October. This is also something of note. Chan-SIP was marked as deprecated in 17. What does this mean? That sounds very scary, right? It does not mean that it will be yanked from major releases. It just means that the Chan-SIP, the channel driver, the previous channel SIP channel driver, is not really being maintained. Nobody's working on it. And at some point, probably in some far future, we would like to get it out of the code base too, so that people aren't confused by it. But in any case, ChanPJSIP is the successor. I talked a lot about that last year. It's been in development for it's been around for a number of years now and has gotten quite stable and works very, very well. It's very scalable. And so it's a good thing to start looking at ChanPJSIP and migrating forward. All right, so I think I hit my 15 minutes, right? We're pretty close to it. All right, thank you guys very much for listening to me for a minute and hearing kind of what's going on. If you have any questions for me, feel free to catch me afterwards in the hall or something.
There's one maybe here.
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't know there'd be enough time for
There was the merge between GGM and Sangoma.
Yeah.
And both of them had Asterisk PBX systems, like the SwitchFox and the free, what was the other one?
FreePBX.
FreePBX.
Yep.
Are they going to be maintained, both of them, or are they going to be merged, or what is the life of those?
That's a great question, actually. So I didn't talk about this because I talked more about it last year and I only had 15 minutes. But so my job at Sangoma, actually, I'm over both projects now. I'm over both FreePBX and Astro Project, both open source projects. And from Sangoma's perspective, Sangoma is a business, and money is good for a business. It keeps it going. It allows you to hire developers. It allows you to keep growing the projects and things like that. And Sangoma makes money off both projects. So I don't see any time future in the future, near future, where like that's changing or that's going to go away. So as a business that likes money, I think that's safe if that's what you're worried.
Let's say we focus on one of them.
No, there's. In fact, I think right now the FreePBX team might be a little bit bigger than the SwitchFox team right now. They're pretty close to the same in size, though.
Okay. Good question. I think we need to wrap it up. Okay, if there are more questions, I think you can meet him here or later by Twitter. Thank you, man.